But I want to take a moment and ask a question. What do you think is the most important thing that you do on the team?
This team or our team?
Just like, as a, like, on the church team, as a leader in the church, what's the most important thing that you do?
Build teams.
Okay.
Are you looking for an answer, or is this just what I think?
No, I legitimately want to know what you think. I do have an answer, but I mean... No, it's fine. Okay.
But it's probably a different
thing for me.
Chelsea.
Google knows, man.
Sorry.
Chelsea?
Google it.
No, I legitimately want to. What do you think is the most important thing that you do?
I think the most important thing is bringing people in the presence of God, like in our team, like bringing that piece, because we're the only ones that are going to do that in the team.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's probably the most important piece of it.
I got nothing else to say. Stole it.
What do you think, Audrey? You obviously have a thought.
I'm trying to
narrow it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get a little smaller.
What do you think?
I don't do anything important.
I
don't know. I think that's a hard question, man. I think I bring a fun work environment. Like, for people just, like, serving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want them to, like, not feel like they're working, but that they're serving the Lord. And to make that, like, a... I don't know if that makes sense, but...
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I think the most important thing... But always making sure that, of course, I'm serving the Lord in my heart. But I'm also honoring you guys as pastors, carrying out your vision. And that I'm caring for people spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's they're not saved and they need to hear the gospel, or people on my team need prayer, and or focusing everyone in, like, this is why we're doing what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. Stella, Melissa, Darcy.
I would say that for me, the most important thing that I do, like Audrey, there's a couple of things. Show love to people that have never experienced love. Also, if God can use me, he can use you too. That he has a purpose for you, and it's not just floating along in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm teaching them that God is here, and that they can do this. Doesn't matter your title. God doesn't look at titles.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at people.
Melissa, what do you think?
Just making sure that, like, I'm there to do whatever it is y'all need me to do, whatever it needs to be done. You know, kind of like the plate underneath the George Foreman grill, like, catch all the stuff.
Just there. What a great illustration. What do you do? I'm the grease trap.
I'm the dustpan.
No, I literally thought you were going to say you were, like,
like a serving platter. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm a greaser. What?
That's Devotion crazy. Is crazy.
No. That's $3 in the jar.
Yeah, seriously.
You're what do you call it? You're the...
They like you're the glue.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
You'll probably fall apart.
No, there would be all scrambling.
I would get paid if you were
what do we do with the 30 birthday card here?
Oh, here we go, Kate. 30 birthday cards.
I'm a good stamp.
Bro,
I don't know what you think. ChatGPT does wonders.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Stella,
ChatGPT.
I finally got a paid version. It's amazing.
I feel like, I mean, all the things I do, I feel like the most important would be being in tune with what God's doing mm-hmm. and following. Because if I'm not, I get mm-hmm. off track and I do the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
Even if it's the right action,
not
it's like
time.
Not the right action. So I feel like as soon as I lose the pulse of where God is, things get out of whack,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of directions. So
yeah, that's mm-hmm. good.
I think I gotta sit on this one. I think for all of us, I think we're all kind of in the right realm. I think we're in the right thinking the right thing. I think there's two things. As I was thinking about this, I think there's two things that are like super critical for all of us. So just kind of take this as food for thought, add it to your list and kind of assess where it's at. But I think Audrey and Stella, I think you guys kind of hit on it, maybe somebody else too, but your relationship with God is like everything. Like everything you do, if you don't have that, you ain't got nothing. The best intentions don't do anything, don't mean anything if that's not there. And then I think the second thing that I don't think I heard anybody say it, but really like comes to my mind is our relationship on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like this matters so. This matters so much because, and I keep coming back, you know, to that Psalms 133 passage, like how blessed it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Mm-hmm. Like if we're not communicating, if we're not building relationship here, if this isn't jiving, then we don't have the blessing of God because mm-hmm. we're not operating in unity. Unity isn't just doing the same thing. Unity is in the heart, in the soul, in the spirit. And so, I really think that there's a level of this relationship that goes beyond just this Tuesday worship and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level that it goes beyond that. And I think that maybe I was actually just kind of praying about our team. Stella and I have been praying about our team, talking about our team. And I think that that there is a measure of this relationship that we haven't tapped into yet that we need to tap into. A closeness, a communication, a relationship that goes beyond just the worship and the prayer together is like so vital. And I think it's at the foundation of it, but I think there's also almost like a friendship kind of relationship that like needs to be cultivated a little bit more. And so I don't take that for what it's worth. Think about that, pray about that. But I think that, I think that this is so important because what we do is so deeply spiritual that if this is just a job that we do, then it's going to come across that way. And that is not what God wants. Like what we see in Scripture is that this was not a work life, this was a way of life.
Yes.
And so I think that what we're doing on this team, I think in everything that we do flows out of this relationship. Everything that you do ministry wise, because what we see in Scripture, you see it all throughout Scripture. There's always this covering, this umbrella of favor, right? Mm-hmm. And favor flows from the top down. So, you know, there's no possible way. I used to think that there was, but I learned that there's not. There's no possible way for you to operate in an anointing that is outside of the covering of this house. Mm-hmm. So you do have a personal anointing, mm-hmm. but that personal anointing comes under the covering anointing. So you will find, I think I talked about this a few weeks ago, you will find that as soon as you step out, like you know, Drex the other day went in and preached at Zeal Youth, I think. And even in that, like, you're under the covering of the leadership of this house. Mm-hmm. And so I'll say this to go along with that. Like, Stella and I feel a great weight of responsibility pastoring this team, because we understand and recognize that what you're doing is augmented or diminished by our own personal relationship with God. But also, you'll find, you know, if you're ever to leave this team for whatever reason and go out and do your own thing, you would find, like, oh my gosh, there's such, this is heavy. This is hard. There is weight. There's like, these sermons aren't preached as easily. This counseling doesn't happen as easy. This worship leading isn't as easy as I thought. Where does the ease come from? Mm. The ease comes from the fact that I don't want to take my, you know, our jobs, you know, and put too much into that. But there is, it is true, that there is a weight that Stella and I are carrying for you. Mm-hmm. There is an anointing that we are upholding for you. And you find that. Like, you know, Moses carried that all on his own, and then he delegated it. And all of a sudden, all these people who had zero leadership, mm-hmm. all of a sudden had leadership. Where did it come from? It came from Moses. And so you're operating in that, which means that if we lose relationship here, then that anointing begins to struggle. That anointing begins to stumble. That anointing begins to be harder than it was before. Why? It's because we're losing relationship. And when we lose relationship, what happens is each one of us tries to operate under our own anointing, our own gift, and our own talent, when the Lord's saying, you need to operate over here. Does that make sense? So mm-hmm. so here's the covering. And we say, well, I lose relationship. You know, maybe you became offended or became bitter or became mad or became disjointed or became prideful or arrogant or just mm-hmm. distant. I mean, it could be none of those things. It could be just distant. Just, I got busy and I'm not connecting, or I haven't, you know, whatever, reached out or whatever. And so you start saying, I'm just kind of working over here. And God says, you know what? It doesn't. That becomes hard. That becomes grind. That becomes like a machine without oil. And the Lord says, let's come under this. And when we work together in unity, and unity says this, unity says, I am pastoring this kids department, this elementary kids department. I'm pastoring these children and parents for the Lord, but as an extension of Pastor Aaron and Stella, I am doing this, you know, preschool or this benevolence or this group ministry. I'm leading this life group. I'm sending these emails. I'm doing this men's ministry, you know, young adults and all of this production and youth and all of this, you know, counseling ministry and Bloom and Grow and all of this. I'm doing this. For the Lord, like, right? That's ultimately for the Lord. But sometimes we can get so for the Lord that we actually we disconnect it. Like, I'm doing it for the Lord, you know? Okay, well, you are. But the Lord told you to do it for Pastor Aaron and Stella, because
he put us over this house, mm-hmm. right? And you know, you didn't say, okay, God, I'm going to go pastor these kids for you. I don't care what, you know, anybody says about it. Like, you didn't get here doing that, right? Like, you got here because Stella and I said, you know what? And the elders said, you know what? We witnessed a gift on your life, and we want to set you forth mm-hmm. for this. And so you're doing it for the Lord, but you're also doing it for us. And what that means is we've got to work together. We've got to not just work together. We've got to be together. We've got to create relationship, and we've got to honor each other, love each other, respect each other, have fun together. And so I do think that, I do think that we need not just to work closer, but I think we need to be closer. And I think that we need to somehow, and I think, you know, we can just put this into our thought process. We could do this into our think tank and just kind of like filter this a little bit and figure this out. But I think that we need to draw closer together. Mm. And because I think in that closeness, there's communication. In that closeness, there's understanding. In that closeness, there's grace. Right. Yes. That's a hard thing when there's not closeness.
Well, there's context.
There's context, right?
You know, maybe someone's like, you know, not whatever. I'm just giving an example. Not maybe performing well on their side, but then you realize, oh my gosh, they got this, this, and this, and this yes. going in their life, and you're like, I understand, mm-hmm. but you don't understand when you don't have context.
Yeah.
That's true.
Sorry.
So.
No, it was already like that, I swear.
It was already like that.
It was already broken. Look, I just put it back.
Poor kid, she can't go in there anymore.
Bro, the cast house just got destroyed. It's alright.
Yeah, so that's kind of something that I've been sensing for a little bit, is just a need for that. But that all still, let me just kind of put something right, that all working together in the context of when we're working, we're working. Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes we can get into the mindset of, and we can accidentally get into the mindset of like, oh, we're having fun, let's just have fun. And then we just want to have fun all the time, and then work doesn't get done, right? So it's like, so I think what is really good is when we it's not balance. I think it was Judas Smith that said this, and not everything he says I love, but I think this was really good. But he said, like, I don't do balance. I'm all in. So when I'm with my family, I'm all with my family. When I'm at work, I'm all work. When I'm having fun, I'm having fun, right? And I'm just focused on what I'm doing at the time. So, and I think I've brought this back before. I've said this before, but like, you know, it's a really good practice of work, break, work, right? Like when you're on your break, go have fun. When you want to go have, you know, if you want to have a 20-minute hallway chat with somebody, shoot them a text, say, hey, let's take break at this time together, and let's go have fun. You know, let's go to the car, let's go talk, go laugh it up. And when we're working, let's just work and just get stuff done. And really, like, be all in and then have a blast. And then be all in and then, like, have a blast. But I think that what we'll find is that we'll be more effective and we'll actually have more fun, because y'all know that when you're sitting there having a 20-minute hallway conversation and I'm in the other office listening and I'm like, get back to work, you know, that's not very fun, right? But I think that, but I really think that this idea of us as a team coming closer together and figuring out how to build not just a work relationship, not just a prayer worship relationship, but a genuine, there's something, I don't know, I guess I just feel like there's something that we're missing here on this team that we got to stir up. And Stella had a word, and so I'm going to let her share that.
Oh, can I just I'm sorry, I had like a snippet of towards what you're saying.
Yeah, go for it.
I started like a group chat with all the girls and the pastors, lay and staff, and just God just really, I didn't know what this was exactly. I shared this with Jessica. She was like, you know, I just need more friendship. I need more, less transactional relationship and more just fun friendship kind of relationship. And I was like, really like moved on the inside with that. And then I was just praying, and God was really felt like he was saying, well, you need your peers. Like you need the people that you're serving with closer, you know, like, and I specifically felt like girls, you know, like not everyone, but just girls. And I know this, I think it extends more now that he's talking about it, but I started this prayer chat and just kind of started sharing and praying for everyone. And then we did the pastor, girl pastor hangout thing last Saturday. And I'm telling you, like, that meant so much to me. I don't know how it was for you guys, but for me, it was like, because that week's really difficult. Like I felt so out of whack with my health, and it was so difficult. And my doctor's like talking all this crazy stuff, and I'm like, I'm not even gonna say it. And she had no grounds for it, but she's just like, I just want to cover my bases. And it was just like scary, and you can feel really alone when that comes. And also just three services and Easter, and I love my city. I got to speak at summer conference, and I got Freedom Conference. And it's like, you're just like, let's throw everything out, you know? And I don't know, I guess I've never experienced the power of peer friendship like that before. I have not talked with him about this. Like, he's just talking from his, I've never shared this with him. So I feel like God's saying this more than one way. But this is a word that I got, and it goes with this. Obviously, it's not the same exact topic, but I felt something in my spirit. I was actually up late. It was like 2 weeks before we launched. Actually, it says April 4th, so
that would have been right before.
It was like 2 days before we launched. It's a little long, so I'm just going to read it. And this is what it says. There is a spirit of offense that has worked overtime to skew the vision of the people and create deceptions in their point of view. And this spirit is like a spider with a poisonous venom that injects its prey and waits patiently for it to do its work throughout the body. People have allowed words, opinions, a lack of fellowship to bring this poisonous spirit of offense in their lives. And this is talking more than just here. It's talking the whole church.
It is.
They have allowed these words to stay in their soul and spirit and fester and infect the rest of them until there is no real vision and perception left, just the one through the lens of offense. Just like Jezebel, it attaches to leadership and it stays close until it has undermined and taken control. People will be lost to deception, but those who can be saved are only at the mercy of the prayers of leadership. Do not let yourself entertain the spirit of offense. It is pleasant to the flesh because of the juicy information you may have heard, but it is deadly to your soul and your spirit. The longer you wait and entertain it, the longer you allow the poison to work in your body, the harder it is for you to receive help. The Spirit of the Lord is moving, and it is pushing us forward into new territory. The enemy is threatened, and he is angry. We have to be vigilant and watchful that we don't allow any evil word to come out of our mouth, even if it is in secret. Words create life or death. The word never says that the power of the tongue in public or directly spoken to someone is life and death, but just the power of the tongue. All the time, every time, no matter who is listening. Fact is, God is always listening, and so is the enemy. Do not allow death to be created by the things you allow yourself to speak in private. This will be the biggest mistake you'll make, and it will cost you dearly. As you are in leadership, this is even more costly, as you are held to a higher standard, and you have the authority to create, not just for yourself, but for this church. Do not wonder if what you see as the fruit of your leadership does not match your expectation. what you create in private will manifest itself in public. Mm. It is time to raise up to the standard of the Lord and speak life and not death. We honor and not tear down. We humble and not arrogant. We allow the Lord to defend the cause of His church and not our own insecurity. Allow our hurts to be healed by confessing them to one another, not holding on to them and venting them to unrelated parties. We allow ourselves to love when it hurts and not withdraw and isolate. That's the word. Sorry. Anyway, that's it. I have nothing to say.
Yeah, I think that in the context of a relationship, this becomes a whole lot more natural because, yeah. I mean, sometimes the people that we love hurt us the most, but all, and so even on this team, I think sometimes, you know, little things can become like slivers, you know, mm-hmm. and they sit there and they become painful. Because, I mean, we spend a lot of time together, you know, an incredible amount of time together. But I think that in the context of a deeper relationship, we are stirred to work things out as they happen, because the depth of the relationship, right, Stella gets let's just put it this way. So, like, if I get a sliver in my finger, I'm going to get it out because I don't want to live with that. If Stella gets the sliver in her finger, she might ask me to help her get it out, and I'll do it because if she's in pain, that just is not good for the home, right? But, like, if Drex gets a sliver in his finger, I could care less. You know, if it's himself, you know? I gotta take care of yourself, you know, go figure it out, you know. So I think what the Lord wants from us is He wants, like, what you're going through to be as if I was going through it. Like, that's kind of what I'm getting at here. Mm-hmm. So, like, if there's like what Stella's talking about, like hurt, offenses, wounds, or like the temptation to like go home and talk to our friends or our spouses about like, oh, this happened, this really frustrates me, or this or that, you know, like that. What I think what the heart of the word of the Lord is that should draw us to one another to say, we got to work this out.
Yes.
Because this is hurting me. Right. Like, not like, oh, that's your own, go figure it out. But no, let's take care of it as if it was my own body. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the depth, that's kind of what I'm getting at. So any thoughts on that? Anybody want to? That's just kind of been in my mind over the last, I don't know, while, I guess.
I think it's really important. I was just having a conversation with someone the other week. There's times where you and God are working out something if you're offended or hurt. But then if it's not going to go away, you need to go to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to do. And it might not always turn out how you want it to. But I feel like if you can't, you've got to... It's kind of like we're not married to each other, but you know, like when you're married, when you're family, even with my sisters, like I've got to talk to them about stuff. Otherwise they'll never know.
Yeah.
They'll never know. And I might have it sitting there for a long time. And I do think, you know, that I've had moments where I had things that were sitting for a long time. And I have felt like the spirit of offense in my life, not just with you guys, but like with lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's really interesting that we're talking about this right now. Cause I did feel like Stella and I had a conversation before women's conference and we talked about some stuff and then at women's conference, like, I feel like God just really delivered me from that, but it's not like,
it's a continual everyday choice.
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking about when Jesus taught us to pray, like literally every single time you pray, remember to, you know, you say, Lord, forgive me for my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally like every time you pray, because that's how many times you can be offended, yeah, like every yeah single day. Yeah. So, anyway, I think this is really good though, because I do feel like there's, you know, it's sometimes it feels hard because it's like you are working together. So there's like the professional, like we want to handle things and operate well, but then it's ministry. So it's deeply more personal than working at a corporate job, you know, because I look at my, my brother-in-law works like corporate, like this is like, there's order and they do have relationships with each other, but it's very professional, but this is ministry. Like it's deeply personal.
Yeah.
So there's another layer. So it is a little bit, it's not balanced like you're saying, but it's, probably can be a little tricky. It's more personal.
Yeah.
So if you get hurt, it feels more personal too.
Yeah. The Lord reminded me of a few years, well, 12 years ago, like we, Aaron and I just, you know, we were not completely on board with everything his parents were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just come home and rip it to shreds. You know? I mean, it's like, you know, and sometimes there was people present, you know, it's just bad. Mm-hmm. And the Lord convicted us of that in Portland. And I told Aaron, I don't feel like our anointing can be freely released over us until we undo what we have done. Mm-hmm. You know, because our words did create, it literally creates a filter for you. When you talk about someone, it creates this filter for you. And then when you see that person, that filter is instantly there until you repent of that. And if you need be to them personally, and we actually did go to his parents and we're like, look, we're dumb. You know, we totally screwed up. We didn't honor you, and we didn't honor you behind your back, and we didn't honor you in front of people. And it costs us. And I believe that God did something. I believe that that conversation hinged us coming here. And I don't think if we would have done that we would have ever come back.
Well, I think the thing is, like, it attaches to what I said earlier about the anointing, the covering anointing.
Yeah.
Because, like, what happened basically is we stepped out. You know, we went to Portland on our own. It wasn't a parent church. It wasn't a network church. It was non-denominational. I mean, we fully went like 100% on our own. And nothing wrong with that, but what happened is all of a sudden we felt the weight of what they were carrying.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we found ourselves doing what they were doing. We were doing the very things that we used to make fun of, you know. And then the team that went with us, which were a lot of them were a part of those conversations.
Yeah.
They started having those conversations on their own about us, so now we're reaping the reward of all of this. Weed seed that we had sown, and we started realizing, like, that's what that feel like. That's bad. That's what we were doing. That's terrible. We were tearing apart what they were building, and now they're tearing apart what we're building. And we realized that we were simply reaping the harvest of the seed that we had sown. So we actually had to sever all of those relationships, not just like slow them down.
No, we had to go, like, all of it.
We had to literally stop calling, stop texting, stop hanging out with. We literally cut it completely off, which was hard and probably a little bit hurtful to them, but it was unhealthy. It wasn't just like, oh, we need to go back and fix it. It was, they didn't want to fix it. They didn't want to change their ways, but we had to change our ways. And so at some point you have to decide, well, is this worth trying to fix, or do I just need to completely, for the health of myself and the church, completely sever? So we severed the relationship. We said, we are going to be fully loyal. We made it right with my parents.
Yeah.
And something shifted
And so what I'm saying to you is don't do what we did, right? Like, don't do what we did, learn from our mistake. But let's instead, let's build relationship. Let's grow together. Let's, and so anyways, there's something that I think will really help you. And I talked about this and then I'm going to, I got some time left. There's something that I think will really help you a lot. And I talked about this maybe last time. But when we talked about forethought, you guys remember that? Was that last time we got together? I feel like that's
been... Yeah, it was 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks because we missed a staff meeting. Or a staff devotion. But the idea of forethought, I think, is like so powerful. And I was actually thinking about this, or I was processing this with somebody I was talking to the other day. We were talking about communication and how to have effective communication. And so I was talking with them how so many times where I think at the heart of most, I'll say at the heart of most disagreements, it is a lack of communication. It is where most of this stems from. And I think where the lack of communication comes from in most relationships, it comes down to subconscious expectations, subconscious thought processes. So I'll use an illustration. Like when Stella and I, first got married, obviously I had, 20 years of my own life and she had, 21 years of her life, all wrapped up. And what happens is your brain is lazy and your brain's number one responsibility is to keep you happy. Not necessarily to keep you anything else. It's not even safe because obviously when people pick up the habit of smoking at first, they hate it because the brain's like, that doesn't feel good. But but then after a while, then they get used to it and they try to quit and the brain's like,
that doesn't feel good.
That doesn't feel good, right? That's not safe. It's like, that is safe. No, it's none of that. It's that just doesn't feel good. Your brain's number one responsibility is to keep you feeling good, which means that it doesn't want to work very hard because hard work doesn't feel good. And so your brain is lazy. And so what happens is it's constantly taking stuff and shoving it into the subconscious part of your brain. For example, what side of the bed you sleep on, or what are you, a belly sleeper, a back sleeper, a side sleeper, what you like to think about when you go to bed, what kind of movies you enjoy. Like, nobody ever sits down with a remote and says, what is my favorite kind of movie? No, you already know what your favorite kind of movie is. You're either a Hallmark or you're not a Hallmark. There's two camps and that's it. So,
wow.
Hallmark, your way to work. What's your favorite way to get to work? Right? Like, here in Hermiston, there's a million ways to get to the office. However, you probably primarily take one route.
Mm-hmm.
And
Kay's house and then come back around.
I had this happen several years ago. Instead of, I usually go to work first thing in the morning, but instead I had a meeting across town. And so I hopped in the car, threw my computer in there, was off, and I got to the office, grabbed my bag, got out, and realized, oh, I'm supposed to be on the other side of town. What happened? My subconscious kicked in. I got to work and didn't even think about it. I stopped at stop signs and didn't even think about it because my subconscious brain was just fully taken over. And so this happens, right? So what happens, though, is like, in our context, we get married and I hop on one side of the bed, and she's like, well, I like to sit on that side of the bed. Well, I never really thought about what side of the bed I like to sleep on. I just jumped in bed, or, why are you doing that when you go to sleep? Well, I don't know. I've just always done this. What's happening? It's like, well, something's happening inside of my brain that I'm not paying attention to, I'm not thinking about, and something's happening inside of her brain that she doesn't really conscious of until something confronts it. And then there's a little bit of a confrontation of what's happening. There's a bunch of I don't knows. And so most communication, most miscommunication happens in the realm of your subconscious. Uncommunicated expectations that you're not necessarily thinking about. And so this happens, obviously, in our office. This happens in your personal life. This happens on your teams. I guarantee you, if you were to sit down with a couple of your team members and have a long enough conversation of what do you think or what do you want or what, you would find out that they have some kind of expectation from you and you have some kind of expectation from them that you've never really thought about and you've never communicated. So what I'm saying is this, I think that you cannot communicate with excellence with people in your life unless you're communicating with excellence with yourself. And the way that we do that is by practicing forethought, what I talked about a couple weeks ago. Asking yourself some really legitimate questions. For example, I've recently taken up this practice of journaling, but you don't have to do it this way. I do think that it's the best way to do it. I think it's the only effective way to do it. But, you know, maybe you find some other way. I don't know. But just taking some time at the end of my day and just writing down, like, you know, today was a great day. It was awesome. Why was today awesome? So I start thinking, like, why was today awesome? You know, I got a couple hours all to myself. I was reading a book, had fun. And then I start writing down, like, tomorrow I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. and spend time with Jesus. I'm going to make some coffee. It's going to be great. What am I doing? I'm analyzing why I had fun or why I didn't have fun. And then like yesterday, I had like one of these days, right? Like started off great. And then, just being 100% honest, in our tactical meeting, something irritated me. And then all of a sudden I was really irritated and I don't know why, but I was. And then I went and came home. I was like, I just need to clear my head for a little bit. So I came here, made a cup of coffee and finished working on Sunday's sermon. Mm-hmm. Out in the sunshine. I felt a whole lot better about myself. And so at the end of the day, I said, why was I so mad? And then I started uncovering some things and I was like, that's why I was so mad. So what am I going to do next time to make that better? Mm-hmm. So I don't get irritated again. What happened? I had an uncommunicated subconscious expectation mm-hmm. of that meeting. Mm-hmm. And when it didn't happen, I got irritated. But next time I know I can go into that meeting knowing that that expectation is probably not going to be met. I'm already prepared to not have it met, which means I'm not going to get irritated about it. I'm expecting that to happen. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I think that where most miscommunication happens is when something is sitting in the back of our brain that we don't know about until somebody all of a sudden fails to do it or does do what we wish that they wouldn't do. And then all of a sudden, there's like this kind of confrontation, miscommunication, or frustration, or irritation. And I think the way that we can get past that is simply take time to communicate with yourself. Most people never sit down and say, why didn't I like that? Or why did I like that? Or why didn't I have fun? Or why did I have fun? Or what was missing? I felt empty. Why do I feel empty? And what happens is we get stuck constantly in hindsight. Continue. Most people live 90% of their life in hindsight. I'm so angry because this happened. I'm so mad because this happened. I don't like them because they did this. I wish that they would. And that hindsight, that afterthought is reeling continually, sometimes 20, 30, 40, 50 years of just afterthought. They were so terrible. I can't believe I'll never hang out with them. I'll never do this because they did this or they did that. I hate it when this happens. I hate it when that happens. All of this.
Uncle Rico syndrome.
Guess what? You can't build a life mm-hmm. off of that. Mm-hmm. You can't build anything with that. Your life, your production, your future has completely stalled at 1985. And so,
you could throw a pigskin over
what you have to do, and a lot of times this affects our relationships. That's usually where it's all at. It's our relationships. And so your relationships, your teams, your organization that you're building has stalled at the state of your last offense, the state of your last frustration. You have not built anything past your last frustration, last offense, last confrontation. And so what do? Well, that's just stupid. Nobody wants to do that. So we say, be honest with ourselves, that really hurt me, that really offended me, that really made me mad, that really irritated me, I really didn't like that. So, the next time, I'm going to do this. Use that confrontation, that frustration, that irritation as leverage. The enemy wants to use it to create a chasm that you fall into. He wants to use that as like your own personal hell. Just sit there, die in it. Don't live in it, die in it. I'm so mad. I hate that meeting. I never want to go. That's what I said yesterday. I never want to go to that death cult. So I don't want to go to that meeting. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know. I need coffee and sunshine. You know? Like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I was like so mad, you know. What was I even mad about? You know, I was just, you know, I don't know. I was like, it's so in the weeds, you know. She's like, that's what that meeting's all about. You know. Truth of the matter was, I was tired from Sunday, and I just did not want to think. Well, guess what? I'm the lead pastor. I have to think. So it's like, whatever. Get past it. Get over it.
Well, you made me move to Monday. So
my job is...
Which actually works well.
To say, well, guess what? Sometimes you can't stop your frustration. Sometimes it really is frustrating. Sometimes you really are just decaffeinated and you can't do anything about it.
Need some vitamin D.
You're
in the sun.
You can't do anything about that. But what you can do is go home with a notepad and say, you know what? This. Why? That's why. So the next time... And then what do? Use Satan's weapon against himself. Use the enemy's weapon as a dagger. I thank you so much for helping me realize that this happened. But the next time, I'm going to do something different with that. And when you communicate with yourself, now you can effectively communicate with
others.
It's on
your radar.
You cannot communicate with anyone else effectively unless you're communicating with yourself, because there is way, for all of us, there is way too much subconscious. And yes, we need to automate the important, okay? Automate the important. But you should always also be aware of what you've automated, because whatever you're doing on accident, there is going to come a point in time where the automated is going to stop automating because something broke, because of a last minute of appointment, or because of an emergency, or because of a fire that you got to go put out. And if you don't know what you've automated, you won't know what to pick up when the automation breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to pull what's in the subconscious up to the conscious and say, this is really there. That was really why I got frustrated. But now that I know what to do with it, I can go fix it. And now I can go effectively communicate. So does this make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
So I think the process of getting a notepad, even 3 to 5 times a week, I know that, you know, like I don't do it every day, but at least 3 to 5 times a week, I'm sitting alone with myself, and it has helped so much. It has really, really helped me. This is kind of like fresh information. That this isn't stuff I've been doing for 5 years. This is stuff I've been doing for like a couple of weeks. But I got to tell you guys, over the last couple of weeks, is I've just simply sat down and started just talking to myself. What did I like? What did I not like? What's going? What's not going? What did I expect? What did I not get out of that expectation? Why did I expect it? Why do I need it? What am I going to do about it? It's really, really, really help me clarify, oh, this is what's going on. I've never communicated.